This is the Friday, November 9, 2018 version of the market analysis segment for Market to Market. The addition of Chinese production numbers and adjustments to domestic yield in the November WASD pushed aside weather reports and weekly export numbers. For the week, December wheat lost 7 cents and the nearby corn contract fell 2 cents. The January soybean contract was flat as official yields were lowered and global ending stocks were adjusted higher. The December soybean meal contract fell $5.40 per ton. December cotton finished 70 cents lower per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, December Class 3 milk futures lost 75 cents. The livestock market took it on the chin as the December cattle contract shed $2.50. January feeders nose-dived $5.95, and the December lean hog contract fell $2.33. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index improved 39 ticks. December crude oil dipped briefly below $60 to finish $2.95 lower per barrel, a 20% drop since October. COMEX gold plummeted $24.70 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index dropped more than 11 points to finish at 439.10. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Sue Martin. Sue, welcome back.
Thank you, Delaney. It's nice to be here.
We definitely have no shortage of things to talk about this week. And I want to start this week, shake it up a little bit, and start with a social media question. We got a lot of great ones wanting your opinion this week. So let's start with a wheat question in particular. We've got Louise and Amy, Kansas. She said, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas are way behind on wheat planting. What does that mean for final wheat acres? And additionally, does this mean that Kansas wheat acreage will be lower than it was in 2017 and 18?
Well, first off, I think the state of Kansas this last Monday was estimated at about 63% harvested. So that's pretty low, and this is week 43 of the year. So whenever you go into week 43 and you're under 75%, normally you will lose acres. And I would have to say the state of Kansas will lose wheat acres, and I would think prevent plant acres mm-hmm. will be up. And so consequently, would it be as low as the very lowest we've been since, what was that, 1908 or whatever? It might not be quite that much, but I wouldn't be surprised that we do equal it at any rate. So, yes.
So, Sue, I'm not familiar with that year. How many acres then are we going to possibly give up?
Well, it's hard to say because I'm not sure how the USDA will attack the prevent plant. Mm-hmm. If they'll show that in the, you know, keep it in the planted acres and then show harvest acres much less. I'm not sure how that will come out. But I will say in the scheme of things, you know, there's so much moving parts here in the wheat market. It's a market that's acting very fatigued. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, it's seasonal too, it's behaving very seasonally, and there's a lot of seasonal trade recommendations if you have services that recommend those that all have selling wheat. One of them is buying beans this next week and selling KC May wheat. Another one is this week where on the 8th you sell of November, you sell corn and wheat and you hold them. You know, I think corn's into the 19th of November and then the wheat's into December. But a lot of these trades go right on into December, and there's just a combination of them, long beans, short wheat, long beans, you know what I mean? It's just, and I think that's, you know, everybody's looking at these seasonal trades and they're using those and hitting wheat with the short side. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this market can't seem to muster up enough energy. And there's been years going back, well, in the last, since 1968, so the last 50 years, we've had 14 years in which wheat prices put a high in August. So it doesn't happen a lot. But in the years that we did, out of those 14, 10 of them went on to see on the December wheat higher highs again, and then the March would either peak with the Ds or move on into January, February. Of the four that did not, three of them, of course, the market was just pure trash. It just went negative, negative, mm-hmm. negative. The one that did go on and make higher highs was after the December expired. The market stayed negative, and then it was the March contract. I think what's also weighing over this wheat market is all the exports coming out
yeah,
of Russia.
Absolutely.
They've been weighing on this market heavily. When exporters started hearing that there might be restrictions coming at the turn of the year, they really started ramping up exports. And, you know, while they've slowed their pace, which slowed actually in August for a peak. You know, so from then, normally last year, I think it was November, December. But they've slowed that pace, but they're still coming up and still being competitive and pushing wheat out the door.
Absolutely. So I think you summed wheat up nicely. So I'm going to move along here to corn, which also has a lot of moving parts. And we saw a WASDE report come out earlier this week. I want to attack the elephant in the room, and that was the carryover number, the global carryover number. Sue, walk us through what happened there. We doubled in size.
It was a surprise. I think the surprise for me was we knew the numbers were changing. On Wednesday, the Chinese National Bureau of Statistics came out and they revised all of their years for the past 10 years.
Is that common to do?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not. But and there's been people in the trade that have often rumored that there was more stocks in China than what they were, you know, what we were thinking there was. But they came out with, I think they added 53 million metric tons to 2017. Mm-hmm. And this one that surprised me was they came up with 42 million more hectares of corn. Well, each hectare is equivalent to 2.47 acres. So that's a lot of acres.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you miss that? I mean, how do you miss that? So, you know, there's a couple of things that could be going on. First off, they've been lowering their support prices to farmers. And part of that reason may be because they do have all this corn. But the other thing was they've really been ramping up their ethanol program mm-hmm. by 2020. And so, of course, through that process, we were thinking if their stocks were so tight that we would get some of that business. So that's been kind of the disappointment in hearing these big numbers. China now accounts for 54% of the global stocks. But like wheat, I think, what do they have, 46%?
Yeah, it was a big number.
Yeah, so, and does that really come into play a lot of times in wheat? No, not really. And I don't think it should be any different in corn. The one thing that we have to realize is in the weather in 2012, 2013, 14, China endured a lot of typhoons. And I think in one year, I think it was in 2013, they had 13 typhoons. Their crop had to be a mess. Their storage facilities are not up to speed.
So that crop that they're sitting on, quality is questionable.
Yes, it's very questionable. And so what else are you going to use it for but ethanol? And that could be another reason that speeded up that little shift towards mm-hmm. ethanol. So I think, and another thing, if they are in need of corn, what are they going to do? They're going to try to talk the market down. You know, with China, you put more attention on what their actions are rather than their words.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can we believe anything they say?
Well, right. I mean, that was going to be one of my questions, Sue, was this a political move? I mean, it comes here in the midst of all the trade stuff going on. We've got a meeting set here between lower level officials that happened on Friday.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit fishy, Sue.
Well, it does. And I think the thing is that, you know, China's got a lot of debt, too. They're carrying a lot of debt. And in the meantime, they know that President Trump, his one big ace now that he does have that Congress can't stop him on is trade. And so I think if there's any area he's going to try, it's going to be the stimulus in trade negotiations, mm-hmm. and of course, China's trade deal is the one that's outstanding. So, and we need that to make agriculture great again. So, there's a special pun on whatever.
We can talk about that later. Oh, so, yeah. Let's talk about soybeans now. I was surprised today on Friday at where the markets closed. I mean, up, I think, 7 cents on the day. We didn't really have an extremely bullish WASDE report. What's going on there? Why did we see some strength here at the end of the week?
Well, I think the bean market, there's a couple of things going on there. First off, the yield dropped.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And, you know, I think we had the yield drop in 2006 and 2007 as well. And this one dropped almost comparable to those 2 years in November. November declines are not a common thing, but it dropped because of the weights.
Yeah.
Basically, both corn and beans was on weights. Mm-hmm. And then what they did was they kind of tried to offset it a little bit with a drop in exports, because we all know our exports are running mm-hmm. way behind. Soybean exports are 25% below what they were, what they should be according to the 5-year average. And so that's a little disappointing. Our meal exports are down, and so our soybean oil, just faintly, both of them, but still they're less. And so the USDA, WASDE, finally lowered those. And, of course, then the end result was it shoved our carryout to an all-time record high. Mm-hmm. It was last month, too.
But not quite a billion bushels.
No, but they're getting there. Yeah. They're working on it. And so I would suspect that we'll see another reduction in January.
Yield reduction in January?
I think so. Okay. And you've got a lot of bean acres not getting harvested, you know, as we talked in wheat. And I think with all the negativity that the bean market has had, I think that acres this next year might decline more than you think. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, I think that when we look at this trade talk, there is, because of President Trump's tweet, and the state Chinese media followed up on it too, of positivity, I think that has set the floor under the bean market for a moment.
Okay.
Because they're worried these funds are heavy short in beans. And I think they've already started working out of some of those. And then with all these seasonal trades, there's one that comes up this next week where you buy July beans, sell Jan beans.
Okay.
There's just lots of that.
So let's continue this discussion, and specifically exports for Market Plus. We got to move on here. I want to talk about feeder cattle specifically. $5.95 we lost from this time last week. What's going on?
Well, the cattle market in general is really, it's had a lot of optimism in it, or optimists, I should say, but things just haven't been stacking up quite right. And we've had, because beans aren't getting harvested, wheat's not getting planted on the backside of that, therefore wheat pasture's not getting, it's running past. And so to buy cattle and put them out onto wheat pasture, it's just not happening. And in the meantime, the weather hasn't been real kind through Kansas and cattle country. So you've had muddy feedlots and what have you.
Sick animals.
Yeah. So I think the demand has slowed a little bit. Plus, we didn't have our deferred cattle contracts as strong as they really need to be. And producers weren't making money. So I think that has pushed, and the feeders have led the way down here. So they're getting a little overdone. But I'm not sure we're totally done yet. But the fat market.
So we haven't put in a bottom yet in feeders?
Well, there is a seasonality where you will put a low in the first week of November a lot of times. And we could have a low here because of being just overdone for a moment, lift the market a little bit, and then I think we roll right back down. I just don't see this market done just yet.
Okay, Sue, give me your 10-second thoughts on the hog markets.
Oh, good grief. I can't do anything in 10 seconds. The hog market, I think, is very bullish.
Sue, I'm going to cut you off right there.
Okay.
We're going to save that for Market Plus.
Okay.
Sue Martin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep this conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. While you're there, check out our classroom. This virtual schoolroom allows you to explore the science, technology, and business of agriculture. Join us again next week when we'll explore how hay exporters have recovered from a dockside dispute that briefly closed their market. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.